The next speaker that we have coming up is Angela L. from Austin. Her topic is living the program.
I'm a little tall. I'm going to try to bring this up. Y'all can hear me?
No, I want to hold it.
How about that? Y'all can hear me? How everybody doing? How everybody doing? Yeah, we're going to celebrate some recovery. I'm an addict. My name is Angela. My clean date is 1/30/97. For that, I'm truly grateful. We can clap now. You know, that's a big deal for me because I never thought I could get 30 minutes clean, and I got 22 years clean, only by the grace of God, who I choose to call my higher power. First of all, I want to welcome all newcomers. I hope you hear something that keeps you coming back. I want to thank God for giving me another day clean, because in the course of my day, if I can't find anything to be grateful for, that's always at the top of my list, right? I want to thank the committee for even giving me the opportunity to come speak. You actually want to hear a part of my little story. That's pretty cool. Usually, and in my time in recovery, I have to be mindful because even though I came in broken and like just didn't have no direction, unemployable, not friend material, not relationship material, all that good shit, right? What had happened was I realized that I came in with an ego, right? So I have to be careful even when I'm asked to speak, that I make sure that hopefully God is helping me tell my story. Now, I don't want to offend anyone because God just means good orderly direction. That's the way they define it sometimes in the basic text. But for me, it means a life. I finally got a life, right? Because the people that I knew as a kid and, as children, we sponge. We like pick up stuff. We like suck up stuff. Some of the decisions I made in my life, I was going straight to hell. Do not pass go. I like to have fun. I'm not really sure if I'm going to cry. I'm not really sure if I'm just going to laugh, but I'm going to just share my experience, strength, and hope, okay? I hope that's okay. So my topic is living the program. That's pretty cool. You can go all kinds of places with that. My phone ringing. That's my sponsor. I love her, but I can't answer, right?
No.
All right. That's a good sign. So when I think about living the program, I think about, like, I remember when I first got clean in the treatment center, like, we had to do a 10-step every night, right? We had to do a 10-step, but it was the treatment center 10-step, and they're like, did you feel slowful today? Did you feel angry today? Did you feel all this stuff today? And at the very bottom, it'll say, did you feel joy? But I was like, damn, I got to get through all this before I can identify that I actually felt good today, right? But first of all, I love all my brothers and sisters in recovery, but isn't it a beautiful thing to be able to celebrate women?
Yes.
Right? Yes. Isn't it a beautiful thing to be able to, like, push women up, right? Because I don't know about y'all women, but I'm an emotional creature. Like, I'm real sensitive. I'm so sensitive it don't make no sense. Sometimes I get on my own sensitive nerves, right? For real. But when I got in the program, right, and that first pamphlet that I actually got with after I got out of treatment, because treatment don't cure me, it just gave me an opportunity for me to be able to step away from the pain, step away from the drugs, which, by the way, was a symptom of my problem, and give me an opportunity to learn more about this disease that I suffer with, right? So there's a pamphlet called Living the Program. To this day, that's what I use as a 10-step. To this day. And it's taken from, like, Just for Today. And they say things like, just for today, I will have faith in someone who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery, right? Who is that? Because I came in here with an untrusting spirit. So the first person I trusted was my sponsor. I don't have the experience of having someone to, I haven't had a bad experience with a sponsor, right? Through NA, I would try to get a better perspective on my life. So for me, I didn't think I had a life. I didn't have a life. I was in a treatment center and I was eating. I'm from Louisiana and they had this homeless shelter. That's where they used to take us for lunch, called the Manor House. And I'm telling you, it was not steak and potatoes. And that's when I really realized that I don't know how to live. I don't know what to do. You know, I was a victim as a child. And then I became like a victim by choice. But by the time I got clean at age 32, I was a volunteer for everything. So it was really heartfelt when I heard, it really touched my soul when I heard that I suffer with a disease of addiction that's associated with obsession, compulsion. And God bless one of my home group members. So one of the things he used to always say is, if you don't start, you don't have to stop. Right? So once I got that concept, now this is just my story. I'm trying to live the program. For 5 years, I'm trying to understand what these people say. In my first 5 years, live the program. Hey, I'm clean. I ain't lying as much as I used to. I used to lie, lie, lie. Now I just lie. I still do that. You know what I'm saying? I done adapted. I'm employable. Well, no, I'm lying. I got fired a couple of times in my first 5 years. But anyway. But I'm still trying to grasp this concept, because what a continuous thing that stayed with me after any meeting or any interaction with my sponsor was, drugs and alcohol was just a symptom of your problem, Angela. So once again, this scared little girl who heard all her life, you ain't shit, you ain't gonna be shit, who was molested by her father, who was beat by anyone who took care of her, all these abuse issues, and hearing someone say, drugs was just a symptom of your problem, you're the problem, it kind of made me, does that make sense? Because I didn't really get communication of love like I thought I should have got. But I stuck and stayed now, because I'm a survivor of child abuse, I'm a survivor of sexual assault, I'm a survivor of suicide attempt. So like, at this point, when I went to treatment, I was thinking about killing myself again, so I really don't have any more outs, so I gotta sit there and just tough it out and hear this shit that makes me feel so fucking uncomfortable. Right? And I came in the program, I thought everybody was angels. That's all I have to say on that. But so I get here, right? And they tell me like, I need to work the steps in order to like address my past, because if I don't address the skeletons in my past, I'm gonna lose sight of the gift, which is my present. Right? That's how simple. And all I got is my experience, strength, and hope. I work steps. I go to meetings. I did H&I. I did service work my first 14 years. Again, remember, my ego. So my sponsor early on in recovery told me, yes, you do service work, but those people that you're sponsoring to, help them to get that same foundation. So that's what I try to do, right? Now, that's not to say that, you know, I should be doing more service work, but I try to do my part. That's the best I can do, right? And that's my thought process, because, you know, the steps help you get along with yourself and the traditions help you get along with other people. So, yeah, that's all I have to say on that one, too. So, living the program. I've never relapsed. My drug of choice was crack. I have not relapsed in 22 years. On drugs. Went through treatment one time. Then I went through 2 halfway houses. So I stayed in structure walls like 5.5 months. But with that being said, y'all, I have relapsed on my defects so many times. I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm not the model addict. I know. Yeah, you get that. Okay, that's cool. I'm going to let that slide, right? So when I relapse on my character defects, something happens to me internally. Something happens to me internally. And when that happens to me internally, it shows up externally. And if I'm not careful, I will be that same scared, lonely girl who came into the program. But check this out. Narcotics Anonymous, they say never alone again, right? Y'all won't tell me to stay away. Y'all tell me the truth, right? But you still love me unconditionally. I have room. You have created a safe space for me to make mistakes. Right? Now, I'm not one of those people who believe that, I did that because I'm an addict. I'm working on it. That's bullshit. I've worked the steps 5 times. I got a little clarity on me. I got a little clarity on the principles. And I got a little clarity on my motives. But when I act out on my character defects, and again, I'm still trying to tell you, I can tell you I got some experience living right in the program, and I got some experience living wrong in the program. But the one person that gets hurt the most is me, right? So when I'm trying to live the program to the best of my ability, I can't just stick with the first 3 principles that we're introduced to. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, right? If I want to change and feel better internally, I got to kick with some compassion, some tolerance. Somebody mentioned forgiveness. Perseverance, you got to forget. That little scared girl comes up sometime, and I don't care what you see on the outside, I be scared as shit. And it keeps me from progressing in my life. It keeps me from being healthy in a relationship, and that relationship is not just intimacy. Let me keep that right. I got some real, real, real powerful, loving friendships. My friendships last longer than my relationships. That's a shame. Oh, it's just me, huh? Okay. It's being able to relate to people at my job. Because I'm that type of person, I want that pat on the back, right? I feel I should get it. Even though I'm saying externally that, oh, I don't care. I'm just going to do the best job I can. But I want to be recognized. Who don't want to be recognized, right? And then I got to catch myself because my defects of character, which is just self-pity or just, like I can become passive aggressive. I hate when people call me that too, but my executive coach say I'm passive aggressive, but I just think I'm passive. I just shut down. Right? But what I found out is because I'm an expressive person, you can see on my face, even if I don't say that, you done pissed me off. And my facial expression, I'm not approachable. Like, I remember in a relationship, I'll talk about one of my relationships, and all my relationships, even though they didn't work out, they made me a better person. I have nothing bad to say about anybody I've been in a relationship with. Let me just say that. And the basic text say, that's one of the most painful areas, you know. Well, yeah, that's true. I can identify. But, I have nothing bad to say about it. I don't know if they got anything bad to say about me. Damn, I lost my thought. They probably do. Yeah. What was I talking about? My facial expression makes me unapproachable, right? And but then that's the outer. But inside, I just want you to make me feel better. But I won't create a safe space for you to do that. And I done practiced for years in here. I can do it in here. Because I'm the type of person, recovery, NA was the only thing that saved my life. I done been to the church. You know, they did all that. I done been to a psych ward. I done attempted suicide. You know, I done just tried to just stay by myself or whatever the case may be. I done tried to get in relationships and let them fix it, whatever needed to be done. I don't know. I tried everything. Nothing saved my life but Narcotics Anonymous, right? So I practiced real well in here. Like, I remember my first 5 years, I was something. And, like, I used to gossip. And I ain't gonna lie, I still gossip. But I gossip with people who I know ain't gonna put it out there. You better tell the truth. We all got a cell phone. Y'all know we be talking, girl, did you hear? But it's not as bad as it used to be, because what happened my first 5 years, I made the NA paper. And people was talking and gossiping about me, because I'm going to reveal something. I started sponsoring a female in July. Had sex with, oh, I'm gay. Yeah. Had sex with her, and I had a year and a half clean. I hope that helped. Had sex with her in, I'm not proud of this, October. Moved her in December and married her in May. I guess you know we're not still together. Yeah, I learned a valuable lesson from that. But we're still really good friends. She's clean. She relapsed, but she's clean. She cheated on me, though. It wasn't that nothing I did, but you know, whatever. Well, it was what I did, but you know what I mean. But, damn, I lost my train of thought again. I'm getting old. Y'all help me. So that is one example of me not living the program, right? But so my first 5 years, I was being gossiped about, and something happened with that internally, and it made me stop. Because one of the things I can tell y'all, I will go ziggity boom, so I got to feel safe in the rooms. This is the only thing that saved my life, right? So I just believe love is the question and the answer. So this is a beautiful thing. But women are emotional creatures. We have all these different feelings. Jealousy come up. Y'all don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about envy come up and all that shit. And you be like, are we getting relationships in the rooms? And then you break up, and then somebody get in a relationship with you. Yep, I know about that. And then you get all these kind of feelings, right? And it kind of messes up a little bit. But the beauty of it, the conscience, like they say, we are trusted servants, we do not govern. Something about the God conscience in the rooms, it just works out. Right? Because we have to hold ourselves accountable. I have to hold myself accountable. I can't sit here and say it was all their fault. I played a part. Somebody brought that up earlier, was talking about a relationship. Two people, right? When I got fired 4 times in recovery, I played my part on 2 of them. One time, they really did mess up, for real. When I go through these interactions with my family members, my mom had 14 kids, so it's a lot of siblings, but 2 of us was adopted into what they think was a nice family from the outside looking in, but money don't equal happiness, right? Because meanwhile, back at the ranch, I'm being abused, right? But so that was a challenging relationship to go through. My real mom, my adopted mom died when I was 17, but my real mom, she died 2 years into me being clean. I heard somebody else, I just heard my story. And that was a thing that came up, because I felt my biological mom just didn't like me because I was gay, you know? And I was like, Mama, you had 14 kids. You didn't think by chance one of us might be gay? Right? But that wasn't really the story, because we didn't have that connection. It was a lot of challenges that went through, but I wrote a letter to her in treatment. I didn't give it to her. She used to come down and celebrate with me. My family came and celebrated with me in Louisiana for 14 years until I moved here. And
We talked. I gave her the letter. She cried. I cried. She cursed. I cursed. Never cursed my mom. I'm not disrespectful, but, you know, in passing and talking. And 2 weeks later, she died. You understand what I'm saying? Not 2 months. Not 2 years. I finally got my mama. And 2 weeks later, she died. Fucked me up. But one of the things that helped me through that process was I was living the program to the best of my ability. I had a courageous conversation with my mom, and I wasn't trying to 100% be I didn't want to just be understood. I wanted to be understanding too. I learned that in the program, right? Step one tells us we honestly look at everything. Not everything out there. Internally, what the fuck in me makes me do what I do? I ain't hit dope in 22 years, but I still feel like sometimes that same little girl or young lady who walked in treatment 22 years ago. I could sit here all day and blame you. But it's me. Fear. I believe the disease of addiction is rooted in low self-esteem, fear, and insecurity. I swear I believe that. And it's progressive. And just because I'm clean and got multiple years, it ain't about the quantity. It's about the quality of my recovery that keeps me living. It's the quality. Does that mean I'm up here and you down here? No. We all recover at different paces. We all recover at, I don't know, whatever we need to recover in. I ain't gonna never say, because remember, gotta deflate the ego, that I've recovered. But I say this with confidence and not to be cocky, I swear to God, because my grandmother told me you speak it into existence. I was raised like that. I ain't gonna get high. Because I'm not gonna stop working the steps. I'm not gonna stop going to meetings. I'm not going to stop reading and studying my literature. I'm not going to stop praying. And I'm not going to stop looking at my part. Never. Because for me, that's death. And if God, they say if I'd have got to the hospital 10 minutes later, I wouldn't be standing before you right now. So I'm going to piss on that gift of life. It ain't all perfect. I swear to God to you, it is not all perfect. The past 3 weeks, I got a doctor's appointment Monday. I don't see nobody holding up a sign, so I'm going to keep going. I've been real fatigued, right? Now, I don't know if that's internal, because one of the things, and I got to tell on myself. So my sponsor, like I had worked my step one, I was all excited and shit. And then they're going to say, well, something happened. And they're going to say, your step one is broken. You need to start over. So I rebelled. I sat on step one about a year. I don't encourage anyone to do that. I was a little sick pound puppy in that year. And so I'm processing my step two. Next weekend, I got to come back to Houston and process my step two. But what I found doing two steps in like 18 months messed with my internal. Because I'm a step worker. But I want to get rebellious. Clean time don't equal recovery. Now, you know God darn well that step work helps. That ain't even the right word. Heals. Heals. But I'm going to go sit on my little rebellious ass. And I hate when she called me rebellious, right? Or whatever the case may be. So I said, okay, I'm going to show her. I show myself. I went through a lot of stuff to the point I have to call and say I'm out of breath, right? All my days are not bad. I have some really good days in recovery. Let me just say that. Recovery, like I got high to feel different. I'm in recovery to feel different. Not about you, because I always put y'all on the pedestal. I was a person who always felt inferior. I don't know about y'all. But I need to feel good about myself. Not to the point where I'm selfish and self-centered and self-righteous. But for me, I need to feel good about myself. What does that look like?
At first, I thought that I had to have the career. I had to be a director. Fuck being a manager. I need to be a director. I had to have the perfect relationship. We're two human beings. How are we going to have a perfect relationship? I had to have, like, the big house. The last 2 years, I've been going on this, like, I've been just taking my mind back and forth. And I know the realtor's tired of me because I'd be like, oh, yeah, I want that house. And then I bag back. Fear. Fear, right? And the low self-esteem issue. Let me just tell you about the low self-esteem issue. Like, my job that I have, this is an example. My job that I have, I love my job with all my heart, right? It's rewarding because I'm getting out of self and I'm helping others. But at the same time, I got maybe 25 years experience, but I don't have no degree, right? I don't fit in a box, so to speak, if that makes sense. Like, some person might say, ooh, they're very intelligent. And I just say, shit, they smart. It's the same definition. They're not judging me. I'm judging myself inside. That's really painful. I don't know if anybody's ever went through that. Because I'm trying to measure myself to someone else. Recovery teaches us we don't have to do that. There's no big eyes and little you, but I'm just right here. I'm chilling. I ain't got to try to shine. I found out in my 22 years. I do shine. You know what I'm saying? Y'all shine. Yeah, give it up. But I spent so much energy and time trying to show you I'm shining. I don't have to apologize for feeling angry. It's not about the feeling of anger, is what I do with that anger. Right? Do I respond or do I react? And I have to have an open mind. That's step two. That's that bridge. Like, step two, get you somewhere, mind. I'm serious. But I have to have an open mind. I feel that step one is honesty, step two is open-mindedness, and step three is willingness. With these, we're well on our way. But I have to have an open mind to realize that, and I understand, and I tell my sponsees, I don't try to control nobody's life. Shit, I have trouble dealing with my own. I ain't trying to control nobody's life. But I have to be open-minded and willing to see that maybe my perception, even though it's my perception and it's real to me, maybe there's a different way. That's why I surrendered to Narcotics Anonymous. I realized, because I was like, how is this scene going to keep me clean? Maybe nobody else thought that. Look what we're doing. How is this scene going to keep me clean? And then I found out this scene gives me hope, motivates me, gives me unconditional love, and gives me the will. It's like my lifeline. Like, sponsorship is the heartbeat, right? My lifeline to want to live and do something different. And I've been doing it. You can do it. Is every day good? I said it once, I said it again. No. But my worst day clean is better than my worst day high. Thanks for letting me share.